Welcome to the Change Your World Relationships, Family, and Business Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the incredible, the amazing Miss Arlene Gale. Arlene, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya. Thank you for that introduction. Welcome, everybody, to this virtual summit. I'm glad to have you here. Today, I'd like to talk to you about two topics that you don't usually hear being brought together in conversation, and that's business customer service and personal relationship communication skills. So let's start by listening to these next four statements. When you listen to them, do any of them ring true for you? Have you heard them before? Or have you even said them? Him: I can't talk to her. Her: he doesn't listen to me. Him: when I talk to her, her eyes glaze over and roll back into the back of her head, and it's like I'm talking a foreign language. Her: he looks like he's listening because he's nodding his head and he's smiling, but then he goes off and does whatever he wants to do anyway. Yeah, I know. It sounds funny, and it could be funny if it weren't for the fact that these are examples from troubled relationships. Did you know that 3 out of 4 divorced people say that lack of communication or miscommunication is the primary reason for their divorce? And that's why there's a 50% divorce rate in this country for first-time marriages. And the numbers get worse from there. 60% of second-time marriages and 75% of third marriages end in divorce. That's 6,600 divorces a day in the United States. Well, compare and contrast these divorce numbers with employment numbers. In the United States, the unemployment rate is about 5%, which by contrast means that 95% of people either own a business, manage a business, or work in some sort of product or service industry job. So take a deep breath and stop for a minute and listen and think about this question. What do you think businesses in this country would be like if the owners, managers, or employees treated their customers or even each other the way they treated their wives or their husbands? I think American businesses might be in big trouble. But now flip that coin over and look at the other side of it. Think about your answer to this question. How would relationships be different if we treated our spouses, our children, or anyone we were in a relationship with like they were a customer, like someone we wanted to enjoy their experience with us, like someone we wanted to come back again and again and again because our business relies on them, because our life relies on them? I would argue with you that this scenario would provide stronger relationships with better communication and therefore maybe even lower the divorce rate. During my career, I've taught communication and leadership skills that revolve around four-letter words. Are you ready? I did say they're four-letter words, so ready or not, here they come. Stop, hear, talk, wait. We often apply these four-letter words in a business or work environment, but somehow we manage to forget them when we get home. Briefly, this is how these four-letter words can create positive communication. Stop, well, that's pretty simple. Stop what you're doing and pay full attention to the person that you're speaking to. It's respectful. It's common courtesy. It's what you'd want someone to do to you if you were talking to them. Hear, that means hear what the other person is saying, not just the listening to the words that they're using, but what is their tone, what is their emotion, and how are they using their body language? And then talk. Respond in a way that shows that you did hear what they said. Often it helps to repeat back what you think you heard, which creates an opportunity to clarify any misunderstandings. And then wait. Wait for a response or for further communication. During my career, I've also worked with businesses of all sizes in creating business plans. Many years ago, I was sitting there with a client just asking questions, putting together this business plan, when it occurred to me, well, what if we applied some of these concepts for creating and building strong, successful businesses and applied them to creating strong, successful personal relationships? So for the rest of our time here, I'm going to work on three examples that come from business planning, but that I want to apply to reframing relationships. First, we'll talk about identifying and working with your target market. Second, identifying strengths and weaknesses. And third, identifying short-term and long-term goals. So let's start with, who is your target market? Well, when we try to define a target market, here's a question that I like to ask. Who has the most to gain or to lose from you being there? How different does it sound when you think about your relationship and you ask the question, who has the most to gain or to lose from you being in that relationship? Or put another way, who needs you most? Let's go back to the business aspect, and let's use this as an example. Grocery store or a fast food restaurant. Who's their target market? Well, most of the time it's the neighborhood people, the people who drive in and out of that neighborhood every day, going back and forth to work, to school, to the soccer fields, or any other local events. So if the grocery store or fast food restaurant is armed with this information about their target market, then they still have to address the issues of how to attract the customers and then how to make the customers want to come back. Another example might be in an engineering firm. Let's say you have an engineering firm that has offices throughout the country or throughout the world. Well, they have a bigger target market to draw from, but does that mean the questions or issues related to their customer base change? No, not really, because the primary goal is still for them to attract customers and make those customers want to come back. So let's apply this to your personal relationship. In your personal relationships, your target market is your spouse or significant other, your children, or extended family. Aren't they the ones that need you most? Aren't you? Because we're talking today mainly about the divorce rate and communication between spouses, we're going to focus on that target market. So here's another communication example. A major complaint from divorced people is that when I try to talk to him or to her, especially if it's a topic that's difficult to deal with and there's some tough decisions to be made, they just walk away. As a business owner, manager, or customer service representative, would you walk away from a customer who had a problem with your product, with an employee, or with your behavior? Not if you want to keep them as a customer, you wouldn't. A successful business is going to apologize, to offer to fix the situation, even if the problem was a misperception on the customer's side and not the fault of the business at all. So why in a personal relationship do some people just walk away, ignore, or otherwise discount their spouse when the conversation gets tough? Why is it so difficult for us in a personal relationship to make that apology or to offer to just fix the solution? Well, it should not be. So now that we've identified our primary target market as our spouse, let's talk about setting some customer expectations. Again, we'll start with the business model. McDonald's. Now, McDonald's didn't make billions of dollars creating great, healthy burgers. No, that has nothing to do with their business model. No, what they provide is consistent service. Doesn't matter whether you go into a McDonald's in Texas, New Jersey, Ohio, California, or anywhere. The customer's expectation is that no matter what McDonald's they go into, that location is going to prepare their order and present their order in exactly the same way every single time. So McDonald's has set customer expectations, and then they meet them. So here's an example of how setting your spouse's expectation, because remember, your spouse is your customer or your target market, how setting your spouse's expectation at home can play out. Let's say it's Saturday morning and you're sitting there reading the newspaper, eating your toast or your cereal, drinking your cup of coffee, and your spouse says, hey, would you mind emptying the dishwasher? And you say, yeah, sure. Well, as the day goes on, you mow the grass, you trim the edges, maybe you cut the shrubberies back, you wash the windows, you go wash the car inside and out, and you're really proud of how your day has gone. You've done a lot. So you sit down at dinner time with your spouse, and you all are visiting and having a good time, but Now it's time to relax. So you kind of get up and stretch and you move to the living room and your spouse moves to the dishwasher and finds out as they open it that, oh my goodness, you did not empty the dishwasher. You set my expectations as your customer and then you didn't meet them. But you felt like you had a good day. What would have happened if you had emptied the dishwasher first and then gone out and done some of the other things that you did? Not only would you have met your customer's expectation, but you would have exceeded those expectations. And I would dare to guess that maybe your Saturday evening under that scenario might go a lot better. Just saying, you might want to try and give it a try. Next, let's talk about the business's strengths and weaknesses. Every business has strengths and weaknesses, just like every person has strengths and weaknesses. And we bring those to our relationships. So again, let's use an example of a business. Let's say a chocolate candy maker. Who doesn't love chocolate, right? So the strengths of this company, what it's known for is it makes the creamiest milk chocolate you will ever taste. And even when they add nuts or any kind of fruits, that chocolate still melts in your mouth. The weakness is that they don't grow the cocoa beans, the sugar, the flour, the nuts, or the fruit, or anything like that. They don't even make the molds that they pour the candy into to make sure that they have the consistent size and shape of whatever kind of chocolate they're making every single time. So, how do they address this weakness? Well, you find growers and suppliers that can make the quality and the quantity of product that meets your needs so that you can continue to support your strength in creating the creamiest milk chocolate you've ever tasted. Or the other option is decide that you're going to take some of these things on in-house. Let's say, for example, that they want to, build their own pecan orchard or make their own candy molds. Well, is that a wise business decision? Well, it depends. If they have trouble keeping quality pecans or they can't grow enough pecans to meet their needs, then really what they've done is they've taken a weakness and made it worse, and they've made it so that it diminishes their strength. Now, if they can address those issues in-house and do it in a way that doesn't undermine or diminish their strengths, well, hey, then more power to them. Nothing wrong with that. So let's apply this idea of knowing your strengths and weaknesses to a personal relationship. Let's use this example as both spouses love to cook. Both spouses find it very relaxing at the end of the day to go and stand in the kitchen and cook a meal and just let that kind of creativity wash away the stress from the day. So let's say in the relationship they've never had that conversation. So one person assumes all the cooking responsibility and becomes angry and bitter about having to be obliged to do that. And the other person becomes upset because they're never given the opportunity to exercise something that they enjoy doing. Well, so they've taken this strength and now it's become kind of a weakness. And on top of all of that, both of them work full-time, so neither one of them really wants to cook every single day. So what if they sat down and had a conversation about these strengths and weaknesses and about how they're feeling about them, and they developed this plan? Maybe one of them cooks on Monday and they eat leftovers on Tuesday, and the other one cooks on Wednesday and they eat leftovers on Thursday, and then they alternate every other Friday. And maybe on weekends they cook together. This allows both parties to exercise their strengths and diminish any of the weaknesses that came out of this topic. So the magic is not in the plan. The magic comes from the conversation, from the communication, from the development and the agreement of the plan that both parties can be happy with, can grow and thrive from. Here's another example. We all have those spouses who have those perceived strengths, those tinkerers. They love to try and fix the plumbing or the car when things go wrong, and they spend hours and hours making the situation worse, and it turns into a real mess, and it costs more money in the long run to repair. A relationship with good communications should be a safe place for each spouse to not only relish the power that comes from acknowledging your own strengths, but also be open to the fact that, sometimes we don't always see ourselves and perceive our strengths the same way somebody else does. And that communication is important in a relationship. It's important to discuss those things. The other thing about those kinds of conversations is to do them when you're sitting on the sofa drinking a cup of coffee, but and not in the heat of the moment as your toilet is overflowing all over the hallway carpet. That is not the time to say, oh, honey, I really don't want you fixing that, blah, 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 blah. Because then in the heat of the moment is when those kinds of discussions feel like personal attacks. So the next example I want to give you is probably from one of the biggest issues that people argue about in a relationship. Of course, that's cha-ching, money. Okay, let's take a strength that turns into a weakness around money. One person in the relationship is very thrifty, shall we say. So they have a great talent and a desire to create the budget, keep the budget, and run the household business so that everything stays on track. Well, that can turn into a weakness when the other spouse comes in and says, hey, I'd like some money because I think we need to replace this. And the thrifty person who's used their skills to create the household budget now all of a sudden says, no. Well, you can't go anywhere from no. There's no good communication that comes from the word no. Anything that comes after no becomes an argument. So what's a better answer? Maybe something like, well, that's not on the budget, but let's see if we can talk about what we might be able to do to make that happen. You know, so it's about the give and take. It's a dance in that communication so that everybody comes out feeling like they didn't lose everything, but they didn't win in everything. It's an even win-win scenario. So with that said, let's talk about setting short-term and long-term goals. So tell me, which side of this quote do you belong on? Do you live to work or do you work to live? These are two very, very different approaches to life. Someone who lives to work, you know, they probably just love their job and they can't wait to get up every morning and go to work and then they hate to leave that job in the afternoon. Or it could mean that they're overloaded at work. They have too many demands put on their work time, and so that makes overtime mandatory. And then they're afraid to say anything about it because they're afraid to lose their job. I'm sure there's a lot of other reasons that a person can come from the side of living to work. You know, until the job just takes over more and more and more of the family time until family time disappears all the way down to zero. So let's talk about a person who works to live. They enjoy their job too, but when they go to work, they understand that the money that they're making is to support a certain lifestyle. It's to make the house payment for the house that they love. It's an income that allows them a few luxuries like dining out every now and then, or maybe doing other fun things with family. Either way, whether you're a work to live or a live to work person, either way, life is not as much fun as it could be if you had a plan and if you communicated to set some short-term and long-term goals. Every goal-setting experience begins with starting a budget. Yeah, I know. Budget should be a four-letter word too, shouldn't it? But setting any kind of goals with a budget gives you a clear picture of what your next step is. Creating a budget doesn't have to be anything fancy, and you don't need to spend extra money on software. Just get a good old-fashioned piece of paper and pencil. The first step is figure out how much money comes into the household over what length of time, usually in a month, because that's how the house payments, electric bills, phone bills, and things like that, that's when they come due. Total up the amount of money that's coming into the household. The next step is to create a list of monthly bills. And when do they get paid during the month? The first week, second week, third week, and then total those up. Now take the amount of money that you're spending and subtract that from the amount of money coming in. And what number do you have left? If you have a negative number, meaning more money is being spent than is being earned, well, maybe your first short-term goal is to figure out and communicate and work together to get out of debt. If you have a positive number, which means that you have less bills than you have income, but then you look at your bank account and there's no money there either, well, maybe your next short-term goal is to figure out where is that extra money going to. And if it's going to things that you want it to be going to, that's great. But if it's going out frivolously, a little bit here and a little bit there, so it's preventing you from using that money in large chunks to do something that is a dream of yours, then that becomes another step in your short-term goal planning. So what is it that inspires you? What is it that motivates you and your spouse? How about sitting down together and having a discussion about, do you want to buy a new car? If so, when? Do you want to buy a new house? Do you have a milestone, birthday, or anniversary coming up? Maybe a big vacation is in order to celebrate one of those events. So this is when you get to come together as a couple and dream big. And dreaming doesn't come with any cost, and it can be a lot of fun. Write those dreams down and then prioritize them. And with the proper budget and with the proper planning, dreams can become realities, but you have to plan. You know, if you're going to take that big, long vacation, you're going to talk about things like how are we going to save the money and maybe how are we going to save the vacation time, which means looking at where's your vacation time going now. Yeah, it may take a year or two to save the money and vacation time for that exciting, long vacation, but, man, won't it be great when you get there? So what can you do together as a couple to really enhance your relationship and your communication and make your life exciting so you're not living day to day just surviving, trying to make the bills get paid? What can you do in your communication with each other to bring this relationship to a point where your relationship will survive because you keep coming back together? You keep coming back to do the business that needs to be done in your marriage. So here's an overview and a few takeaways about enhancing your communication in a relationship that I'd like you to remember as we close today. First, remember that you cannot control another person's actions or reactions. You can only control your own. This is not about changing or fixing anyone else's behavior or way of thinking. This information is about you being open to trying new methods of communication for enhancing relationships, even when the communication gets difficult. If you're squirming and you're still sitting there and you're still having that conversation, then that should get you extra brownie points because that's where most couples begin to drift apart. The other takeaway is this is about you being willing to share your insights about yourself and about what you see in the other person. And this is not a time to beat them up. This is a time to lift them up. This is not a time to only come up with problems or negatives. This is a time to talk about how do we come together and enhance each other and then figure out where we go outside to fill in the spaces that we still leave. Finally, this is about you being vulnerable. This is about being open to using those four-letter words. Remember at the beginning of the session, those four-letter words. Practice these in communication. Stop, hear, talk, wait. Remember, your primary target market is your personal relationship with your spouse. Make them behave in a way that makes them want to continue to come back and be a part of your life, and vice versa. And it takes practice. I'm not going to tell you that it's easy when you start, but the more and more you do it and the more vulnerable and open you are to it, the better the process will be and the stronger your relationship will be so you don't end up as one of those statistics. So thank you for this time. I appreciate it. And if you like this perspective on enhancing communication and enhancing your lifestyle skills in general, or if you're interested in learning more about tools for getting unstuck in different parts of your life, please find and read my best-selling award-winning book. It's called Face Forward, Move Forward. It's by Arlene Gale. That's me, Arlene Gale. And Face Forward, Move Forward is available on Amazon.com. I'd love to have you follow me on Twitter. That's at @Arlene_Gale. That's at @ARLENE, then underscore, Gale, G-A-L-E. I'm on Facebook, too, Arlene Gale, author and public speaker. And I've got a website, and I do a blog, so please feel free to join me there, arlenegale.com. Again, thank you very much for your time and attention today, and I look forward to catching up to you.